gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Look at me. I'm where you have my current coffee mug. I'm getting ringed with our product placement. Mmm, delicious. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free.
So
from
tasty,
anywhere.
Too.
Mmm.
Just
it
like
tastes
candy.
Better out of a current mug.
It's so current. It's not stale coffee.
It's not stale coffee.
Information either.
It's the most current coffee ever. All right. A big show coming up. Comedian Rita Rudner, our
cool.
usual Tuesday panel, Charlie Pierce, and Representative Jan Schakowsky.
Wow.
How rocking a show is that, Rick?
It's pretty rocking.
Great. And Shana with a new promo for our shows. Me and Bill Press.
The New News Network is now politically direct every weekday morning.
We're coming to Current TV.
Full Court Press with Bill Press from 6 to 9. And Talking Liberally with Stephanie Miller from 9 to noon.
Me and Stephanie Miller in the morning. What a way to start the day.
Only on Current TV.
Oh, it's an actual Current promo, not
yes.
a Shano promo.
Right, it's running on Current.
That's running on Current.
Yes.
Why, I hadn't seen that.
Wow, so this is actually happening.
Yeah, well, you know, we still got a couple of days to screw it up.
I don't know. They sound pretty committed if they're running promos like that.
Stephanie, I'm watching you.
I think that's what they're going to have. They're going to put a picture of Al Gore right there going like that.
Mm-hmm.
Giving me the meet the parents. Watching you. Take you down to Chinatown. All right. Oh, by the way, we'll just do this for the Ustream so far. But Julie in Seattle sends us the best OL Romney sign. Mama, former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm had this the other night at her fabulous Current TV show, The War Room. But it just says, meh, Romney. There's a mehromney.com.
Awesome.
So they didn't go with my idea for calling the show The Horror Room.
No.
No.
But,
okay.
That was my favorite.
How about the Young Jerks?
I say right in the middle of the Russia controversy, just right out there. Just go balls out. It's the whole room.
I said it.
Don't you think that's a way for women to grab our power back?
Sure.
I called my own show The Whore Room.
Exactly. And just, you know,
and they, everyone
delegitimize
must,
the word. Take the...
Right. And everyone must address me as whore.
Although Randy...
Rebecca, tell the congresswoman...
Oh, God.
Good morning, whore.
Rita Rudner's not going to call you that because she doesn't work blue.
No, as my mother says, she doesn't work blue.
Why can't you be more like that, Rita Rudner?
Oh, Steffi.
You wear a dress sometimes.
She wears such pretty dresses.
Speaking of the name of the Current TV show,
yes.
It is called Talking Liberally,
yes.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Sure.
So if you're searching in your TiVo or your DVR the listings for it, search under Talking Liberally, The Stephanie Miller Show.
Talking Liberally
with
Tom
time.
Brokaw.
There's still time to lobby Current and say we prefer Jim's idea. The whore room.
Sure.
I have to say one thing. If we make it to Monday. Current, I think, really is trying to do something more groundbreaking and progressive.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the people on there, like Keith Olbermann and Cenk.
Mm-hmm.
But even our show, it's, you know, people that have not, maybe the corporate TV structure, right? It's we can't be contained by the corporate... You remember when we filled in for IMUS for 3 days?
Right.
The person that ran MSNBC said they're never gonna. We knew we weren't gonna get it.
Right.
They said they're not gonna go with a radio show after IMUS. It's too risky.
Yeah.
They're gonna go with someone that's already under contract, and they did.
Yep.
Joe Scarborough, the very liberal. What?
What?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Someone in the chat room suggests that we call the show The Young Smirks.
The Young Smirks. That's
pretty
good.
I love that. That's good. See, better, zippier.
Yeah.
I was going to say Young Jerks, but
that kind of fits too.
Sure.
But none of us are all that young. Maybe Chris.
We are smirky, though.
Yeah.
The Young Smirks. I like
Rebecca's
that.
Young.
Come on. Al, rethink it. Whore room. Okay.
Mm. You know?
Shake things up.
No.
No. He would very reasonably look like he's considering it, and then no. This is how it would go. Mr. Vice President, I was thinking... Okay.
Heck to the no.
Right, there it is. That's my meeting with Al Gore. That's how long it would be. Someone once told me they had a meeting with him. What was his name? He used to be the big power broker. Mike Ovitz. They said they had a meeting with him that lasted about, like, 8 seconds. They were just, you know what I was thinking? He goes, no.
Oh.
That was it. And the meeting was over.
Well, then.
All right.
Wow.
Wowee. Could I have some infomercial music? Looky, what's available, Jim? You know how you like to buy various religious pieces of toast on eBay?
Sure. Who wouldn't?
When you're not enjoying internet porn. internet-based research. You are a
who is
gawker.
Coined that term?
Gawker has alerted us. It bid on burnt toast with the image of Mitt Romney and Satan shaking hands.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm so hungry.
It's on a piece of toast. Oh, no.
No.
Gawker says it mostly looks like a piece of toast. And with an $88.40 shipping fee, it's an expensive piece of toast.
Yeah.
However, it's totally authentic. It came out of a toaster of a true Republican friend of mine. He was so shocked he called me to get it out of his house. Everyone who sees the item claims it's the real thing and proves what conservatives have been saying all along. The Mormon religion is a cult that is devised by Satan himself. And Willard is trying to convert America into cultists.
I see.
Okay. You've been warned.
I'm waiting for a piece of toast with the image of Ganesh, the elephant god, on it.
Yeah,
no
then you'll know.
It's always the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Some, you know, Christian iconography. You know what I mean.
By the way, we're searching for Mitt Romney has had the second awkward pancake moment in as many days.
Wow. That's even more than Gary Bauer. Awkward pancake.
Yeah,
well that was the original awkward pancake moment.
I'm going to flip these pancakes, and then I'm going to front over off the cliff.
It's not creepy enough. I look like Peter Lorre. I don't even know how to flip a pancake. Is something about the giant pancake. Oh, my goodness. What a giant pancake.
That's a big pancake.
That's as big as my win in Puerto Rico.
It's just the right size.
I have engaged in humor. I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. All right.
I should warn you, we'll be engaging in frivolity during the speech. I'll let you know when it happens.
Okay, and then yesterday, what did we... Oh, we got... what's his name? Santorum slipped up. Didn't he say something about buying the election? He said,
Yeah.
Win, buy, Minta in NoHo says, Mama, if you listen carefully, you'll hear that Santorum didn't say those qualities would buy the election. He said they would buh. The election. Don't know if there'll be enough to buh all the black people, though. Good point. Good point.
Very good point.
And forget about the good people. Yeah. That's not
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Paul, a childless loser like me, writes about birth control. Steph, what about women who just plain don't want to have babies? Not everyone wants a little booger eater whining it didn't get the right brand of cheesy puffs. Or be eternally tied to some guy she thought was hot when she was easily impressed at 20. Why do men think every woman craves reproduction as if it's the only value of being female? Thank you. Child-free and aspirin-free. Paul, thanks, Paul. Booger eating, cheesy puff eater. Who wants them?
Poof.
Who needs them?
Cheesy poof.
And finally, David sends in other hip-hop news. Which I did once start a sentence like that on this show.
I think it was me. I'm the one who got the crap for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. See, this is a problem now that the current news has hit. More people are, you know, Googling me and Wikipediaing me and things like that.
Sure.
So David alerts us that it turns out Stephanie has more street cred than we all realize. Wikipedia says Stephanie Miller has uncredited vocals on a Jay-Z song entitled Jigga That...
What?
Oh.
N-word. Let me just say... computer says no. I did not do uncredited vocals
unless they
on the
sampled
song,
you from
Jigga
your show
that.
At some point. But then they would have to get permission and all of that. Hmm.
Okay, well, I've never said the phrase Jigga That.
Well,
mine.
Okay. Hopefully they didn't do that like George Bush thing to me.
I suggest you don't do that now.
Yeah, you remember when George Bush sang Hey Mickey to me. I bet you he was not pleased about that. He never actually sang Hey Mickey to me, so I'm just saying. You don't remember what it's called, do you? Hey Steffi. It's called Hey Steffi. All right, hey, we'll Steffi. Find it. All right, speaking of the... here it is. Oh, you're a good boy.
Oh, Steffi, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh, Steffi. Yeah, Steffi. Oh, Steffi, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh, Steffi. Yeah, Steffi. Oh, Steffi, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh, Steffi. Oh, Steffi, what's a boy like me supposed to do? You really drive me wild when you get sweaty in this suit. Oh, Steffi, how I love that talk show thing you do. It's hosts like you. What you do, Steffi, do, Steffi, up in this suit, Steffi.
How many thousands of hours of editing was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what they don't have. They don't have an audience that has entirely too much free time like our audience consists of a large amount of people with entirely too much free time.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of the N-word, sadly, the seller of the racist bumper sticker that we spoke about yesterday, the, you know, don't renege in 2012,
only
spelled incorrectly, with a Obama sign crossed
out.
Forget it. Surprisingly, Jim, the seller of the said bumper sticker has defended the use of the N-word to describe President Obama. That's what we've gotten to in this country.
Wow.
It's when is it, in 2012, they go, no, it's not a bad word.
When is it ever good to use that phrase with the president? Or with anybody?
Not with the president, but anybody. Paula Smith, please and thank you. Owner of Stickitude.com is defending a popular bumper sticker that is igniting debate on race and spawning widespread condemnation. She sees absolutely nothing wrong with it, but that's... probably
that's
what's wrong with this whole thing.
Yes, that's her first problem.
The first problem, the sticker, the second problem. Wow. Ms. Smith insisted the bumper sticker is not racist. Okay.
Mm.
Always delightful to hear white people explain why something with the N-word in it is not offensive. Okay. I asked her, this was at Forbes, I asked her about the N-word for which, and that's the shortened version, thank you. According to the dictionary, she said that N-word does not mean black.
Oh.
It means a low-down, lazy, sorry, low-down person. That's what the N-word means.
Of course it does.
Actually,
where did she get all that definition?
And how does that describe President Obama in any way?
Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary actually defines it as an offensive word referring to a black person. Just in case you were wondering.
Surprised they have it in there. Even.
Her website found the design on a different site in 2010, decided to sell it herself because, quote, she thought it was cute. Don't I look cute in this hood? Pressed, I'm feeling super, thanks for asking. Pressed by Forbes on whether she thought the N-word is offensive at all, she replied no, explaining she herself doesn't use it and that she's helped black families.
Oh,
I assume made up of some low-down lazy people that she had to help.
Who
were
some of her
nice
best friends.
Yes. She had to help them because clearly they were, oh, my God. Okay. She went on to say, and besides.
Why
do I feel this is just going to make it worse?
Oh, God. What does she say?
I feel Paula needs to shut her pie hole at some point. Besides, Obama's not even black. He's got a mixture of race. Oh, that's like the guy in the Alexandra Pelosi thing, right? No, it's not because he's black. Besides, only half black. He's a half breed. That guy.
Barack Obama. He's a half minority.
A African, sure. Okay, here's the and here's the saddest part of the whole story. The seller is the sticker is currently the site's top seller. So in 2012, apparently people think that's going to be okay to have that on their car. I'm guessing there's going to be some incidents. You know, some
sure.
If you thought this campaign season was ugly, might get a little uglier. Just saying. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on Steph and Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family. Too much wine and too much song. Wonder how I got along. We had joy, we had fun. We had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the song, like the seasons have all gone. We had joy, we had fun. We had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the
song. Favorite song ever. Oh, come on.
My favorite. Thanks. For asking. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, we have not one, but two Mitt Romney awkward pancake moments.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The whole stack of Mitt Romney pancakes.
Hey, you see what you did there?
Because.
That's pancake humor.
See, that's real pancake humor, Mitt. You know what I found even more pathetic in this clip, Jim? It's not even the lameness of the jokes from the most awkward man in the world. It's the people that laugh.
Yeah.
Really? Wow, is there a low bar? Okay, so we have the original. Yeah, he, as the campaign degenerates, he's just going to start just naming random objects. That's pretty much his, those are his only.
His short stack is just the right height.
Okay, so this was the original pancake moment in Illinois.
These are pancakes. I'm in Rosemont, Illinois. I just got these pancakes from a restaurant called Pancakes, Eggs, Etc. It's kind of a play on words, and the pancakes apparently are very good. And a nice crowd there. Did Fox and Friends this morning, so we're off now to Puerto Rico.
It's obvious, man. Stating the obvious in the most obvious way possible.
Can it get worse?
Yes.
Yes, it can. The Charlie Parker's Diner in Springfield, admiring the dish known as Charlie's famous giant pancake.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night. I must admit, the margin was just about as good.
Well, what's Spanish for pancake? Okay. I don't care because they should be speaking English.
I want to talk to each and every person that was in. First of all, they laughed at the first thing.
Yeah.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. Why do I spend so much time writing material for Sexy Liberal? That's it? Wow, there's something. How's that for a joke, huh? That was finally crafted. Somewhere please. George Carlin is spinning at the speed of
yeah.
light. Just really? He got laughs for that?
These are pancakes. Definitely pancakes.
And he even screwed up the Puerto Rico part. It was as big as my win, because you could tell he thought it was so funny. He kind of rushed it. This is win is my win in the big
Costa Rica. No, Puerto
Rico.
Puerto Rico. Polo.
Wait, is there a second part, or is that all you got?
That's all I got.
Oh, okay. But wait, Jim, there's more comedy. He said, I'm looking forward to getting one of these pancakes. Can I get one of these on the way out? Not the super big one. I can't fit that in the vehicle, all right? Romney joked. They have to say Romney joked so that you would identify that as...
I may have to strap it to the top of my car.
Like an Irish setter. I swear to God, they have to actually say Romney joked. Okay, hang on. Not the super big one. Can't fit that in my vehicle, all right? The car's only a Chevy SUV.
Wow.
I can't fit the giant pancake in the car!
Did I say I wanted Detroit to go bankrupt? Well, only after I got my giant Chevy SUV with the pancake on it.
I will, I'll pause briefly while you stop to wipe your eyes.
I should have warned you I'd be utilizing humor in this conversation.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my ribs. Wow. Oh, that was... Ooh. All right. I need to hear that again just to hear the doofuses laughing in the background. I want to diet like you diagram a sentence. I want to diagram Republican humor to understand.
We might need to do it after the
All right.
Yeah.
I just need, it's like finding a new species. It's a new species of comedy that I do not understand. That I must, all right, we'll hear it again after the break because I'm wondering that laugh reflex. Isn't that something that's hard to control?
It is.
Unless you feel really bad for someone.
Bush laughed at inappropriate moments, too. It was a nervous thing.
I think they just feel bad for them. I think it's pity laughter. You know, it's like the pity of laughing. You know what I'm saying? It's all right. Because it was like a setup, and they laughed at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Republicans will laugh at anything.
Wow.
So I'm in the Denny's.
No, that's the part where, that's not no. The, So Pancake walks into a bar. No, that's the setup. Okay. All right.
So embraced it. Rabbi, I told her wrong.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
But you feel that feeling you got right now? That's
Stephanie Miller.
And no one can take that away from you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. We have Charlie Pierce coming up from Esquire.com, Rita Rudner, comedian extraordinaire, and Jan Schakowsky, the rockin' congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, where we got a primary coming up. Oh, I think, by the way, Jim, she's going to be calling in from Egg Cetera, the very pancake place that... Mitt Romney was standing in front of for his awkward pancake humor. All right. I just had to hear this again because I need to, we're comedians of sorts here. Not like Mitt Romney.
Romney.
No, of course not. But I just need to deconstruct. First of all, wow, is that an easy crowd? Okay.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night. I must admit, the margin was just about as good.
Well, let's...
The margarine is just about as good. I think of that up. Put butter on my pancakes because I'm watching my weight.
Yeah, and then he had the big closer. You know, you always close with your signature piece, Jim. You know, John Fugelsang closes with his Chris Matthews bit, Hal was dinosaur bit. Until I pass out. But my point is, Romney said, I'm looking forward to getting one of those pancakes. Can I get one of these on the way out? Not the super big one. I can't fit that in the vehicle, all right? The car's only a Chevy SUV. Thank you. Good night, Illinois.
Did he add
chapter? He should have used that. That was used, Dennis Miller.
Yeah, yeah.
Why didn't I think of that before Chicago 6?
That's about as funny as Dennis Miller. Seriously.
It's like that Christian comic. It's not a Christian.
Brad Stein.
Oh, the right-wing guy on Fox News that's all set up and no joke?
Yeah.
Yes.
You kind of, and you wade through the setup with him, hoping against hope.
You're kind of rooting for him. You're like, oh, come on. You can do something. Come on. You can do it. You can do it.
You can do it.
Oh, you something. Whiffed it.
Something.
Some priest, minister, or rabbi walk into a bar.
I had a friend that used to do that. She go, I had an idea for your show. If there's a, you know, like the new Jell-O, and then it'd just be like some sort of concept, and I'd be like, what?
Something happens with the Jell-O.
Right? And she goes, well, you can use that, right?
Then a guy walks in, and comedy happens.
It's okay.
No.
It's no.
Just,
no, sorry. That's just a sort of gelatinous thank kind you. Of concept. It's not really a nothing. Okay.
High concept. It's,
okay. All right. Speaking of comedy, political cartoons, we put this up on my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And where else?
Your Facebook page.
And my Facebook page. Yeah. And also?
Your Facebook page.
Stephanie Miller Show Facebook page.
Yeah.
Now, my sister sent this into her local paper. And because when I was growing up, we had these political cartoons all over the house.
Because
my dad, of course, ran with Goldwater in 64, and he was chairman of the Republican Party for, years before that. Anyway, but... So it was. It's. I hadn't thought of this, but we had this photo, and she sent it into the paper. I think we sent it over to LA Times too. It's my dad. He's like the elephant there with the gavel because he was the chairman.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Now where do I fit him?" And it was the Republican Party then. Rockefeller was on the liberal. Dick Nixon was in the center. Barry Goldwater, of course, on the right, and he's holding a picture of George Romney, and he says, "Now where do I fit him?"
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, oops, that's not what I wanted.
Sexy liberal.
My sister writes deja vu all over again. Who'd have thought a political cartoon collecting dust in a hallway in my home for almost 3 decades would suddenly make me take notice and giggle over its irony? This cartoon depicts a major problem. My dad trying to unify the disparate factions of the party, Barry on the right, as I just explained it. With the party facing similar philosophical struggle today, trying to figure out what to do with Mitt, or perhaps more accurately, Mitt trying to figure out what to do with himself.
Yeah.
Can anyone doubt that more than a half century later in 2012, anything ever really changes in politics, sometimes not even the names?
Hmm.
I'm a big sister Mary. Let me put that up so you can see it. Poor Mittens.
Bless his heart.
Mittens doesn't know what he wants to be when he grows up.
Rich. I want to be rich.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't say something more awkward about the pancakes. That's as big as some of my friends' bank accounts or something. Okay, I gotta go. I should have closed with the SUV joke. Okay. I gotta skedaddle. I think Mitt Romney has actually said that at a party.
Skedaddle?
Yes. Ann and I have to skedaddle. This has been grand. All right. Mitt Romney accused the president of hampering the nation's economic freedom.
Huh? What?
And slowing the nation's recovery by proposing tax increases and expanding government bureaucracy. He insisted the nation's status and standing are at peril because of the Obama administration's policies.
The Obama administration's policies have been trying to dig us out of the hole that George Bush left.
Yeah.
With no help at all from Congress.
You know, his ideas are sort of like his jokes. They're kind of general concept-y things that aren't really... policies or ideas.
You know,
or,
my friend, the future lies ahead of us, and that's where
ahead.
We need to go.
Right.
Up there,
to that
the future,
way, forward.
Which is there, and not back there.
There it is, and there's trees, so on, the gonna, trees on the
and
way,
just
and
the right height.
Lakes, and there's a, ooh,
I love lakes.
A
love the lakes.
Car and
especially
a
the
ooh,
inland lakes. Well, I guess they're all inland, really, right? They wouldn't be lakes.
Let's stop
They'd be
pancakes.
Oceans if they weren't inland.
And we could stop for pancakes, but only if they're the right size.
These are pancakes. I don't know if you knew that.
Okay, Romney repeated a statement he's made several times lately, insisting he doesn't understand how young people could vote for a Democrat for president. Yeah, because you're so much hipper and cooler than the president.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why the kids aren't really excited with the momentum and the Flavin.
First of all, most of them don't have trust accounts.
Right.
They didn't inherit $100 gajillion from their parents.
He said, he actually said this, "You may not like my ideas, but at least I put ideas out there."
They're bad ones. But they're out there.
They're really bad.
But at least they're ideas.
Hey,
what
it's
kind
an idea,
of trees are those?
Right?
They're just the right height. They remind me of pancakes.
Oh, boy. All right, Mittens.
Our choice will be not one of just party and personality. This election is going to be about
money,
principle.
Lots of it.
Our economic freedom will
From
be on the
what?
Ballot.
Oh.
And I intend to offer the American people a choice.
Oh, that sounds scary. The whole economic freedom is...
Economic freedom from taxes if you're rich.
Yes.
By the way, did he just say what I thought? Vote for me, the one with no personality.
Yeah.
You don't want to vote for personality. I think, wait, I got to hear that again. That's what he was saying, right? The president with all his personality and charm.
Our choice will be not one of just party and personality.
No.
This vote election is going to be about principle.
Yes.
Our economic freedom.
All right.
The principle of rich people keeping all their money and everyone else starving.
Oh, did I say that out loud?
Vote for me, Mr. No Personality.
Yeah.
Personality is gay.
And French.
Exactly.
Like my mission. What?
Really, vous couchez avec moi?
See, I hope he talks more about that in the general election, about his, you know, his hardscrabble time abroad.
In France.
In France.
As a Mormon
missionary. Doing his
missionary
work in France.
Zut alors, c'était terrible.
Substandard Burgundy.
Il n'avait pas de pancakes.
Had completely substandard Burgundy to go with my foie gras on many, many occasions.
Yeah, they have crepes.
It was difficult missionary work.
They don't have pancakes, they have crepes. So those crepes, these are the wrong height.
These crepes are way too thin.
Yeah.
You can't even stack them.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I know a lot of people will talk about delegates and strategies and math, and that's all very interesting to the insiders. But I think the American people want to see someone who has the leadership, skill, and experience to defeat the president and a vision of conservatism that will get America on track again.
Hmm. Oh, he's got the vision thing. Mm-hmm. They brought up the vision thing again.
Oh, wow.
Got the vision thing.
Got the vision thing.
1,000 points of light.
Need the glasses to see, but got the vision thing.
Wonder if Ron Christie helped him with the vision thing.
Does someone like not explain to him, you don't say the vision thing. That's what got
Ron Christie is too
Bush.
For America.
They're both big.
Stop it.
And they overlap somewhat. Yeah,
you might want to explain who Ron Christie is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Ron Christie, he's the Republican pundit with the Clear Vision for America.
Because he's?
Cross-eyed.
Gladly the cross-eyed bear.
He does often talk about how Republicans are the only ones with the vision for America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little
and you can't help
it's a visual joke.
When you see him on
the
TV.
A little bit. Okay. So, yeah, that's how George H.W. Bush got in trouble. So someone didn't tell him it. Don't say vision. Don't say that.
Right.
Got the vision thing. Mm. Got it. All right.
I believe the economy's coming back, by the way.
What?
We'll see what happens. It's had ups and downs. I think it's finally coming back.
Huh.
Wow, they don't know what to do now. They're just like,
The economy's coming back under the Obama administration, yet he must go.
But we'll see what happens. Let's hope that it goes back down, for my sake.
Wow.
That's stunning.
Hello, most awkward man in the world. These are things you don't say out loud.
The economy's coming back because
coming
we bailed
back.
Out the auto industry. Whereas
what?
I wanted to destroy Detroit and run
here.
It into the ground. Schmark. And vote for me, please.
Schmark.
Schmark. Wow. This could get more cattywampus. They don't. Rick Santorum, meanwhile, says the issue in this presidential race is not the economy, but an oppressive government that's taking away people's freedom. Okay.
Whatever.
Well, I mean, that's the hangover.
They don't know what to do. They don't know whether to run the economy. Now they're going, no, it's not the economy because it's getting better. Don't look at that. No.
The Patriot Act took away our freedoms.
Yeah. Polls show the economy is the foremost issue for most American voters.
Yes.
So frothy once again in step with the American people. The economy's not the issue. They don't know what to do. They're just like, I don't...
Yeah. The economy is my number seven focus, because it's not important.
Yes.
It's very, very important, but not in an unimportant way.
Mittens, I'm sorry, say what again?
I believe the economy's coming back.
Awesome. President Obama for president, 2012.
Yes. That's going to be on the ad. I believe the economy's coming back.
Thank you.
Well, you can't use that.
What?
Public domain. Look it up.
That's unfair to quote what I said. All right, 40 minutes after the hour.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I think they should use that with a meh Romney ad. Meh Romney. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Warrior, syrup on my pancakes.
Stephanie Miller.
Stew! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Buddy in Columbus. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mama Moose. What you guys don't understand is Mitt Romney's a comedy genius.
Yep.
Really.
Yep.
He strips it down to the bare essential.
Right.
And he rips it. And I've got a Mitt Romney one.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, my friends, I've got the smartest dog in the world. I asked him what's on top of the house, and he goes, roof.
Oh, oh. Now, so you see what you did there?
See, that's a dad joke.
It's also on top of the car, which he found out very shortly after that.
Wow. Okay. Okay, yeah, I think that's the thing, Jim. Comedians are, Republicans are such lame comedians because other Republicans, I think, are lame. These are right-wing talk show hosts
that
had Romney on.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is their version of funny hosts interviewing funny presidential candidate.
Right.
Okay, so what? There was
my
a picture
sides are
taken
already.
There was a picture taken of Romney.
They explained it all in the setup. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. Well, it writes itself. Then.
Yeah.
They took a picture, of your butt, and it's got the size right on there.
34-34 for a guy that's 65 years old. That's pretty trim.
Oh my goodness gracious. This is embarrassing. There's nothing private anymore, is there?
Oh, God. Oh, boy. Okay, so that's what passes for an interview with a presidential candidate.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. This is just so awkward. I'm already the most awkward man in the world. My goodness. Oh, heavens. All right. And then this is another.
So then they go on and.
You don't wear those mom jeans like the president did in 2009 when he threw out his first pitch. And he talked about how they're so nice and comfortable. And they're the big baggy kind of jeans.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Well, I looked at my wife to buy my jeans for me, and she got me a good pair.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's lame. It's the very definition of lame.
Goodness, that's funny. Oh,
you sure that's not a Saturday Night Live sketch? It's like, yeah, it's a parody of, wow.
It is. It's like, oh, hot mic. Hot mic.
Hot mic.
Oh. Oh. All right. Well, there it is. That's what you're missing.
That's
if you're
pretty
not
funny.
Listening to Radio.
As far as funny goes.
This hour of real comedy brought to you by SolarWorld. They've been making solar panels right here in America since 1975.
Wow.
Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar.
That
all right.
Was smooth.
Woo-wee! I don't know who sponsors that we just played, but good luck.
Whatever!
Good luck. Okay, Mittens and the campaign.
He's put us deeper in debt. He's slowed the recovery.
No.
And he's harmed the economy.
No.
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 No. But wait a minute, didn't you just say...
Wrong.
Didn't you just say a second ago that...
I believe the economy's coming back.
But... Would you like to debate the guy in the next soundbite? Because
those were said on the same day.
Well, what I meant to say was getting better once I'm president.
That's in
anticipation of mine.
On the same day. On the same day.
Wait, let's do it. Let's just, you know what? Because we should, you know what? They've got to do an ad like this for the general, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
They,
why don't we just
debating?
Do it for them?
Yeah. Okay,
right
here it is. Welcome to Debate Night 2012. Mitt Romney.
I believe the economy's coming back, by the way.
And Mitt, your response?
He's put us deeper in debt, he's slowed the recovery, and he's harmed the economy.
Oh, dear. Well.
Which is getting better.
Which is getting better, despite him. However.
That's why we need me.
Because?
I will be totally inconsequential and have no effect on anything in any way.
He is. He's human packing material. He's just.
Yeah. He's styrofoam penis.
He's fluff.
Yeah.
He's marshmallow fluff. Okay. He's harmless and yet ineffectual. All right.
Well, you know what? He wouldn't be harmless if he got into the White House. He would do a lot of harm.
Yeah, marshmallow fluff would still rot your teeth.
Thank you.
Especially in a fluffer nutter.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, marshmallow fluff with peanut butter?
Peanut butter's too interesting for him.
I can't.
It's too exotic.
It's too scary.
Yeah.
Sounds like something from Indonesia.
All right. Mittens.
We once led the world in manufacturing, in exports, and infrastructure investment. Today we lead the world in lawsuits. Labor unions. They once served as a symbol of worker rights and fair treatment and a growing middle class.
So
today they too often represent the worst of special interests.
Wow.
So that's why the auto rescue that's been a spectacular success and made us number one in the world.
And who is against infrastructure investment? The Republican Congress.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who shot it down every single... What? Huh?
You know, that's one of the biggest things to me that he can't get beyond is that let Detroit go bankrupt. Yep. How he can go on record. I mean, that was, what was it, 1 million jobs saved, something like that, 200 and something thousand created?
Mm-hmm.
How do you spend that?
It's a bad thing.
And he was completely, utterly wrong about it.
He wasn't even speaking off the cuff.
It was.
Yes. Yes, and now we lead in the world of manufacturing again in autos. We're number one in the world.
We're number one.
Thanks. Yeah, America.
You say that like it's a good thing.
Right. All right. Mittens again.
I'm someone experienced in the economy. I'm not an economic lightweight.
No.
President Obama is. We're not going to be successful in replacing an economic lightweight with another economic lightweight.
Oh, I see. That was a Santorum and a...
Yeah. And Santorum took issue with that.
Did he?
Yes.
He's a little testy.
And I heard Governor Romney here call me an economic lightweight. Because I wasn't a Wall Street financier like he was. Do you really believe this country wants to elect a Wall Street financier as the president of the United States?
Financier?
Was he trying to make it sound French and gay? I think he was.
He should have said financier.
Financier. Crepes. These crepes are the right height.
By the way, we'll get to this in a second. One more Santorum.
When he was governor of Massachusetts, his heavyweight record was 47th out of 50 in job creation.
Yep.
If that's the kind of heavyweight that Mitt Romney thinks that we need, then we should probably just stick with Barack Obama because he's done just about as good a job as Mitt Romney does in job creation.
Yes, 47th. Good point. Rick.
Something else for the campaign ad. We should just stick with Obama.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. By the way, could you take your organ out, please? You know how there was quite a bit made, Jim? I don't know if you heard anything about it. I don't think it was mentioned on Fox, but about the president's preacher.
Yes.
Reverend Wright. I didn't really see anything about this. Pastor Dennis Terry, friend of Santorum's, just introduced him. Told Christians to get out of the U.S. Non-Christians, excuse me, to get out of the U.S.
Oh, really? Okay.
So you, for instance, all y'all. And skedaddle. Preacher Dennis Terry of Greenwell Springs Baptist Church introduced Santorum at a campaign rally recently. He is tired, he told his audience, of not being able to say that the U.S. is a nation founded on Christian principles.
Well,
you can say that, but it wasn't.
It doesn't make it true.
Listen to me, he continued. If you don't love America and you don't like the way we do things, I have one thing to say. Get out! We don't worship Buddha, he yelled. I said we don't worship Buddha. He repeated it.
Oh, in case you didn't hear it the first time.
We don't worship Mohammed.
Some of us do.
We don't worship Allah.
Some of us do.
We worship God. We worship God's son, Jesus Christ.
Allah is the Aramaic word for God.
Yes.
Which,
duh.
Aramaic was Jesus'
name. He's from the Church of Duh.
Yeah.
Duh. The church needs to be the conscience of the nations, he added, before denouncing abortion and same-sex marriage. The solution to curbing these put God back in our state house.
By the way, Buddha isn't a deity.
Santorum is seen in the crowd clapping.
Buddhism is more of a philosophy than a religion, really. But
so no separation of church and state and all
and there goes the Jewish vote.
Non-Christians can get out.
You get. Skedaddle.
Get.
Y'all just get.
Get along. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh yeah, Illinois primary day. Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois joins us. Talk about the primary day. Charlie Pierce coming up in about a half an hour, and comedian Rita Rudner next hour.
Your mom's favorite.
1-800
Did you let your mom know that she's going to be on today?
My mom doesn't know I have a radio show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, dear, the current TV show, that cannot be good news for me. My mom will get to, see the show. 1-800-STEP-1.
Does she have current in her neighborhood?
Oh, dear.
You might want to check that out.
Oh, dear. Let's hope not.
It's on channel 1,497.
I'll just keep telling her. She's not worked the remote. I'll just keep telling her the wrong channel. You don't get that down. No. Yeah, she's. I remember when she told my brother, she said, oh, dear, Steffi said penis on the Tonight Show. You don't think anyone saw it, do you? My brother's like, yeah, we get that here. Probably some people did. All right. Wendy in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie
Miller
Show. Well,
they get it, but they don't get it.
Good morning.
Listen, hi, Wendy.
I was laughing so hard when you played that spot before from the radio show. Hey, guys, that's your direct competition here in Chicago at the same time slot.
Oh.
The Big John and Amy Show.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, that's the best I can do is just keep playing stuff so you know what you're missing.
Oh,
there.
Gossip about the Amy Jacobson, though. People in Chicago should remember she is Amy Jacobson, who was fired, I believe it was from her NBC job. It was before Scott Peterson. There was another local murderer who was under investigation and still living at home. She was fired because she was spotted doing some undercover work at this man's house dressed in a bikini.
No, dear.
Yes.
Wow.
And this station that she's on now is also home to Glenn Beck and, of course, the ever-funny Chachi Dennis Miller Show, who this station had to give. They were giving away $500 during his time slot to just help people listen. That's how pathetic this
is. You know, I don't think it came from the show you're referencing.
It wasn't Big John and Amy?
No, it was not.
Oh.
No, it was from another.
It's a different lame right wing show in Chicago. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to investigate this now.
Yeah. All right. So
yeah, we don't want to say the name just because we don't want to bring attention to
it. By the way, aren't those mom jeans that Mitt Romney wears? They look, yeah.
He's the one with the mom jeans.
He wears the same ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I apologize, Big John. Amy. I assumed it was them because it was a man and woman.
Yes. No.
All right.
No.
I'm going to have to investigate.
All right. There's another man and woman.
All right. Thank you, Wendy.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, Steph and the Mooks, Mary in Altaloma writes about the real kind of comedy. Do you think they chose the Saturday Wadsworth Show of Sexy Liberal to use for the comedy CD iPod because it had the best audience? I think so. I've not laughed so hard in years.
Wow.
Why, it's yet another unsolicited testimonial to the real comedy, of the section which you can download on Amazon and iTunes. And now,
the comedy album that has topped the charts. From iTunes to Amazon.com and even Billboard Magazine.
No pancake
Stephanie
humor.
Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour Volume 1 has broken records and shattered Republican memes. What once was only digital is finally getting physical. Now, for the first time, you can experience Stephanie and her Sexy Liberal Gang on CD, featuring the talents of John Pugelsang.
Blaming this recession on Obama is like blaming your hangover on the guy making breakfast, okay?
Hal Sparks.
The right side of the Senate must have just sounded like popcorn. To the heads exploding. What science and a victory on the terrorism front!
And progressive radio superstar Stephanie Miller.
You know what? It's getting too mean at those Republican debates, isn't it? That's why Chris Christie didn't get in, because you know it's already Lord of the Flies that somebody would have killed the fat kid with a rock.
Go to sexyliberal.com or stephaniemiller.com to own the album that chronicles progressive comedy history. Now available on CD.
Thank you. All right.
I do realize the audience was cheering, killing the fat kid with a rock there.
It's a joke. It's a joke. Brittany in Chicago. Hello, Brittany.
Hey.
Hey. Go ahead.
Hey. I was just calling to say that I was planning on voting for Santorum today in the primary.
Uh-huh.
And also that my sister was just in the car, who's 13, and was singing Frosty Santorum with me.
Oh, awesome. You guys are enjoying the surge, then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Everybody sing it.
A family classic returns this year with a very frothy holiday.
Frosty Santorum was a frothy mix of snow, with a corn cob here and a carrot there, and he looked just like some coal.
Hello, children. I hope you're having a great holiday season.
Where did you come from, Frothy?
Well, it's kind of a mix, but I mostly came from love.
You mean like when my daddy loves my mommy?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Well, I gotta go.
Don't leave, Frothy.
Bye, Frothy. Frothy,
rump, rump, rumpity, rump, rump. Look at Frothy go. Rumpity, rump, rump, rumpity, rump, rump. Just like a lump of coal.
Yay! Oh, kids. So scamps. Okay, before we dive into right-wing world, this is why. You know why we're going to win the election, Chris?
Why?
Bob.
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 And he's with...
Because of...
And
but are... Bob. He's with Bob.
What about Bob?
Bob. Well, funny you should ask.
Bob is a palindrome.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
And it's also a verb.
Exactly. So what you are, what you do. All right. Stephanie, I listen to your show, and I do vote Republican. But I do have to say, I cannot stand Rush Limbaugh. Every time they say he's the voice of the Republican Party, it makes me cringe. He will complain about anything Democrats do. You got Bin Laden, that was George Bush. Unemployment's down, that's because Republicans are hiring everyone. Cut military spending, the Democrats want to weaken our military. Oh, my God. Whether the person in charge is a Democrat or a Republican, if the ideas they have are good, then the ideas are good. Well, Bob, the problem is all the Republicans' ideas are bad. I'm sorry to tell you that.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it. We need to implement good ideas regardless of who came up with them. What in no mind simply follows a party? For the most part, I've been happy with the Republican Party. But they've become obstructionists playing a game of chess with our tax dollars. When I hear Rush Limbaugh as the voice of the Republican Party, it makes me want to learn Canada's national anthem move. Add Karl Rove to the mix and you're on your way to creating a serious group of knuckleheads. Anyway, I enjoy your show and keep on giving that fat ass a hard time. I love it. Bob.
All right, then.
Who thinks Rush Limbaugh is a fat ass that makes him want to vomit?
Well, makes many of us want to vomit.
All right, let's dive in. Here we go, Bob. You can just take it. You know what? I listen so you don't have to, Bob. If you listen to me, I'll just feed it to you in little bite-sized, vomitous pieces.
If you dive in, you can just bob right there.
There you go.
See?
Yeah. All
right.
That's
where the verb part comes in.
Yeah. None of you in this audience believed any of this and didn't think it was that big a deal to begin with.
Sandra Fluke.
And thought the reaction to it was way over the top. So we tweeted that. That's up as well on our Twitter page, at Limbaugh, at Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, he started Twittering. He seems a little bit annoyous.
Yes,
he
does.
A little scared. Twittering like mad these days.
This got him to break his moratorium on Twitter.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a
Bob thought it was a big deal, Rush.
Yeah.
Okay. What about Bob? Okay, Sandy Rios on the Fox News.
The left notoriously wants to get involved in the most intimate decisions of your life. I know that many people think the right on the moral issues is the one that interferes, but it's really not true. The left runs wild when they have, and they are constantly trying to force people to do what they think is right.
Like what?
The amazing thing is that they can make a private insurance company cover something that's not really health-related. Contraception, except if you have some sort of a medical problem, which is very rare, is to prevent pregnancy. And pregnancy is not an illness.
There's no medical, 10 million women have either endometriosis or
not
cystic.
That's very rare, according to Sandy. Sandy knows better
medical
than you
expert,
do.
Medical
very,
expert.
Very rare.
Sandy knows better than you do about your own personal medical issues. So you need to listen to Sandy.
So let me get this straight. So it's Republican governors across the country that want women to open their legs so they can shove something
in there without the woman's permission.
And, I guess.
And it's liberals that want the government to interfere. Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, against your will. Okay. Wow.
And I guess since it's not a medical condition, people should just be born at home.
That's not
what
an illness.
Medicine is not required at all
a midwife and get in the barn, woman. Put down some newspaper.
Go out
and
in the field and squat.
Put down some newspaper and have a litter in the closet like kittens. Who cares?
I had a kid who had
don't even stop your housework. Just give birth right there while you're washing your dishes. There's no reason to stop
that. Monty Python meaning of life.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I had going through my head.
Oh, boy. Steve Ducey and Peter Johnson.
The Obama administration expanding its contraception mandate despite objections from religious employers. It will now require religious colleges and universities, among others, to provide free contraception to students as well as employees.
This is the most unprecedented and radical intrusion into religious freedom in this country's history in the past 100 years. Century.
It can't be most unprecedented. It's either unprecedented or it isn't.
So when it was like that under George Bush, it also was the unprecedented?
That was even more unprecedented. It was really unprecedented.
Ish.
I love how he said, in the past 100 years or century. Did you hear that at the end? Like, thanks, Peter Johnson.
It's people that watch Steve Ducey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Should Peter Johnson change his name to something?
I bet his brother Dick is
less embarrassing. Really? I mean, even Dick Armey considered changing his name to, you know.
Penis Air Force.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Eric Erickson on the
Marine Corps.
Eric Erickson on the Eric Erickson radio show?
Yeah, he has an Eric Erickson radio show.
Wow.
Really? The blogger?
It sounds like she'd be wearing a Viking helmet.
Yeah.
The right-wing blogger.
The right-wing blogger. that someone gave
Where
him a radio show.
Where can you hear the Eric Erickson radio show?
I think within 30 feet of his basement, maybe.
Do you have time for current? Can I change the name of the show to the Stephanie Sepperson Show? Okay.
Do we really want to be France? Because that apparently seems to be the goal of the Obama administration. What's next? Are they going to come out on a crusade against shaving your pits if you're a woman? We're all going to be eating smelly cheese? God, it's good for us. Except the freaking FDA won't allow us to sell unpasteurized milk and get the good cheese.
So he's blaming that on Obama.
That's Obama's fault.
That's Obama's fault. Yeah. Okay, first of all.
And first of all, now you're praising France for something, because they don't have the FDA, supposedly.
So he went from damning France
by the way,
to praising
the good cheese.
Right.
Yes. By the way, I just ate stinky cheese last night. Okay. It was delicious. It was delicious stinky cheese.
But I'm sure, bury France, not
love
to praise it.
I'm sure it was
love
pasteurized, though,
love
which
it.
Is not the same cheese that they get in France.
So that's another example of a right-wing radio show. That was almost as good as the one we just played with the Romney on it.
Yeah, that sounds about as professional as Dana Loesch's radio show.
He
seriously
couldn't stick with the meme of attacking France. I mean, he caved on that. Halfway.
You know, when you give...
He surrendered halfway through his bit on France.
Yeah. He's very French.
Hi! See what he... Oh, he's a cheese-eating surrender monkey.
You get that kind of radio when you just stick a microphone in front of a blogger.
There you
seriously.
Go.
Dana Loesch, Eric Erickson, you get that kind of radio.
There you go. Not on our side. You get Rude Pundit, who's hilarious.
Exactly.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Wow, 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 wow. Charlie Pierce coming up at the bottom of the hour, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Doug in North Carolina. Hi, Doug.
Boy, I love the bumper music there.
Thank you.
Even with a slight modification. Hey, I love the show. Hey, it's really funny how, you know, Republicans are saying the Democrats are attacking religion. Well, if that's the case, then how come the Republicans haven't, like, gone after or said, like, you cannot prosecute these crazy parents who opt out for prayer over their terminally ill kids? Because, I mean, every time that happens, you know, the parents are off to jail, which they should be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Rastafarians cannot smoke marijuana, or, you know, Santa Rios cannot, you know, slaughter chickens and all that. You know, I mean, if that's the case, you know, then they ought to say, hey, you know, anything goes with this religion, then just do that. And the other thing that gets me is, like, with Rush Limbaugh, and he goes on some of these blogs and some of these different radio shows, is like saying the Democrats are beating this Rush Limbaugh thing like a damn dead horse. You know, he's apologized, if you can call that an apology. He just accepted. But I just think it's been, what, 2 weeks, going on 3 weeks now? Pretty much every day on Sean Hannity's radio show and television show, he keeps on bringing up the issue, you know, making the comparison to Bill Maher.
I know.
And how he doesn't give the money back, blah, blah, blah. I'm just, God, these sheeple out there just keep on.
I know. Doug, isn't it incredible that they try to make this about Bill Maher?
Yeah.
What, and something he said on the stage show? What?
Right.
Okay. All right.
Well, they're also trying to make it about Letterman.
Yes.
Yes.
Sure.
Last night, Sean Hannity was wondering why the First Lady would dare go on the Letterman show when Letterman said those awful things about Sarah Palin.
God.
Okay. Kate Obenshane?
Kate Obenshane. She's the president of the Young Americas Foundation.
Sure. On Hannity.
When he sticks his neck out there on one, he really needs to be courageous enough to speak out on other instances. But, Sean, the left doesn't do it because they willingly go after conservative women, because conservative women represent a tremendous threat to the left, because for so long the left has taken women for granted, and so they just let them. They just let the left go after conservative women in hopes that they're going to run them out of the arena by just this vicious name-calling.
We go after right-wing women because they're annoying voices.
By the way, speaking of which, the whiny victim apple doesn't fall far from the whiny victim tree. Did you see this? Crystal Palin takes on Obama.
Yeah.
Where's my call for Bill Maher's reprehensible comments?
I didn't get a call.
Like, the president has time to call everybody in the
who's
country
offended
who's
Bill
offended
Maher.
By some... Yeah, that's a full-time job right there.
I've been offended by Bill Maher.
I think I've been offended by Bill Maher.
The president called Sandra Fluke.
Where's my apology?
She was a private citizen that was asked to testify before a committee about a medical issue.
Well, where's my invitation to the committee?
It was called a whore for 3 days on national radio.
Why is no one calling me? Oh, never mind.
Since President Obama called Sandra Flug, Bristol Palin has been waiting for her phone call.
God. That's almost... the dumb doesn't fall far from the tree.
Nope.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to debate Obama, but you're not running for anything. You have no significance.
Bill Maher made some reprehensible remarks about her, but several years ago. Like, what?
When she was running for president.
Yes.
Or vice president.
In a new blog...
Well, she thought for president.
In a new blog post, Palin argues that Maher talked about Malia and Sasha that way. So here they are in the hypothetical tree. You'd return his dirty money, and the Secret Service would probably have to restrain you.
Oh, come on.
Why must the Palins always make this about them? Is the whole family like this desperate to get another reality show or another? She's not... Okay. All right, Fox and Friends.
Here's Rick Santorum, sunbathing shirtless in Puerto Rico this week. He later apologized, saying, "I'm sure it's not a pretty sight."
I think I read online that the picture of Rick Santorum was taken in Puerto Rico. Somebody on a gay cruise, just driving by, took that picture.
What website was that that you were looking at?
It was on Drudge.
Oh, okay.
You really set yourself up with that.
Wow.
Yeah. Just reporting the facts.
Look out for the gay cruise lines if you don't have a shirt on. That's my message.
Oh, it wasn't a gay site, was it? Oh, it was Drudge. Okay.
Well.
Oops. Okay.
Wow, that sounded like really homophobic.
Yeah, that did.
Very.
Wow.
Homophobic.
Steve in Vermont, you're on the Stephanie. Yeah, because gay guys looked at that massive, you know,
and they were like, "Ooh, I want that."
That's giving me a Santorum surge. Hi, Steve in Vermont. he's not even a proper bear. Steve in Vermont.
I just wanted to point out that the whole neoconservative libertarian ideology is based on a false dilemma, that we have to choose between individual liberty or the good of society. And anytime you do anything good for society, that means, therefore, in their imagination, that you're infringing upon the individual liberty.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And somebody needs to point out to them the top 10 economies on this planet are all mixed economies.
Yep.
They all use progressive taxation to reinvest in education and infrastructure. And everywhere you go that they have low taxes and small government, it's a third world country.
Yep, nicely said. All right, Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Were you a difficult teenager?
Well, I was voted head of the PTA, so... No.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Representative Jan Schakowsky and comedian Rita Rudner coming up on the big show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, it's that time on Tuesday. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Wah, 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 wah. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
We're only a week away from our big close-up, right?
Yes, indeed.
I'm ready for my close-up now. why am I anyway?
Mr. DeMille doesn't want you for your car. He wants to avoid your face.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
It's not that I got big. It's that the local cable TV network got small.
That's right.
That's right.
So I can see you're all just a buzz with it being primary day in Illinois.
It's primary day in Illinois.
Yes, exactly. It is. It seems like we have some momentum.
This is a target-rich environment for Mitt, although he did sort of get thrown on the defense on the lady parts question again yesterday.
Oh, what happened? Did I miss it?
Well, they started asking about contraception, and he, like, pivoted brilliantly as the deft political operator that he is and said, "Hey, if you want free stuff, vote for the other guy. I'm not the free stuff guy."
Okay.
Says the man,
good
by
advice.
The way, whose great-great-great-grandchildren are never going to have to pay for anything.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I must have missed that in the midst of all his fine pancake humor that I don't know if you've heard any.
Yes, he was doing some. He's loving pancakes, right?
Yeah, well, he's reduced
he's
now to...
turning into Steve Carell in Anchorman almost instantly. I love pancake.
Pancake.
I love lamp. I love griddle. I love... better.
That's exactly it.
Mitt, are you just looking around the kitchen and saying you love things? I love lemon zoster. I believe it's one of the Palin children, actually.
So you, as you write this week, we begin our speaking of awkward, in Puerto Rico, we begin our semi-regular weekly feature with newly minted conquistador Willard Romney, who won all delegates Puerto Rico could offer over the weekend, and concluded, therefore, ipso facto, Speedy Gonzalez, that he has all the frijoles anyone could need to defeat President Obama in the fall. Olé. It literally is, in a party that has gotten so out of touch, you say, Romney said, I intend to become our nominee, and I intend to get Latino voters to vote for a Republican and take back the White House. Well, that's his intention, isn't it?
Well, I mean, he also said it in an all-white suburb in Illinois.
Right, so. Right. To an all-white audience, right.
I think, you know, as much as I don't like to give recommendations to my Republican brethren, it really is time. You know, it's time to face the horror that he's going to be your nominee and just, you know, end this thing. I mean, as amusing as it is,
yeah,
it's starting to get, you know, it's MASH in 1982 at this point. All the good jokes were used a long time ago, and we are into the BJ Honeycutt portion of the Republican primary.
Oh.
But I'll tell you what I am intrigued by, though, are the caucuses, because I don't know if you've paid attention to what happened in Missouri over the weekend. The Ron Paul people ran amok.
Yes.
They wound up, their one caucus, they wound up calling the cops.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And because the one thing that Ron Paul's people can do is they can make arguments based on the rules.
Right.
Even if the rules aren't what they say they are. And they were screaming that Robert's rules of order were not being followed. And they nominated their old caucus chairman and stuff. You want to broker
wow.
convention? You had one in Missouri this weekend.
Wow. I mean, that's what I was saying is the rules, I have to say, of this Republican primary, incomprehensible as their candidates. Aren't they?
Yeah, well,
somehow
the
Romney's winning, though he keeps losing.
The very real problem is that that the Republican National Committee seems to have no enforcement mechanism over the states. They couldn't control the primary calendar. That's how Florida lost half its delegates, because they kept running, all the states scrambled to get to the front of the process. And then, you know, these other states that were allowed to have beauty contest primaries but pick the delegates at local caucuses, which to me sounds insane. I mean,
right.
The one thing Ron Paul's people can do is make trouble in small groups.
Right.
And you are just asking for that. And if you think that they're not all just warming up in these caucuses for the big show in Tampa, you're kidding yourself.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, well, you say, Missouri, a glimpse into the brokered convention this week. You say you have to give the Republican Party credit. Faced with a down economy and a vulnerable incumbent, the GOP has managed to put together not only an incredibly mediocre field of candidates, but also a nominating process that seems to have been designed by angry ferrets on crystal meth.
I love you, Charlie.
No, I don't understand how they could have looked at, you know, and I think there's still a real possibility that they could win this. I never minimize that, but how they could have looked at that and not had everything, you know, in the good Republican way, everything organized in lockstep is beyond me.
Right.
I just finished David Corn's book about the negotiations over the budget deals and stuff, essentially what the Obama administration did after the 2010 midterms. And in that book, one of the presiding dynamics is that nobody really has control over the Tea Party people.
Right.
But I did not realize that they didn't have, that the lack of control was so overwhelming that they would allow them to run amok in the primary process too.
Yeah.
But apparently they have. And I think that
the
other wild card is the Ron Paul people who really know how to do this stuff.
And also, as you write about the Rick Santorum's uncanny ability to be completely out of step with what the issues people care about. I mean, first it was contraception, and now it's the war on porn, as you write about this week.
He's a jab at Utah, the largest consumers of porn.
Yeah. You say, while I wasn't looking in between bouts of sunbathing and tropical climes, Rick Santorum was opening up another can of religio-comic whoop-ass in the presidential campaign. Now he says the time is for a serious national campaign against porn. This is because fundamentally Rick Santorum is a colossal and not the kind that gets you hired in the industry in question. And I mentioned recently what a colossal Rick Santorum is.
I now have that function, by the way, on my keyboard.
It's
F69.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Hey. Look what I did there. But what really bothered me was that the precedent he used was, well, you know, the Bush administration really concentrated on, you know, directing federal resources toward the attack on porn. Yeah, one of the things they did in order to do that was to eliminate $58 million from the FBI counterterrorism budget, and they eliminated it on September 10th, 2001.
Wow.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
You know, I suspect their opinions you know, rather changed by subsequent events. But
well, and as you write, you say, it seems that President Obama, occupied as he was with killing Osama bin Laden, had let the real war slide, unlike the previous administration, and Rick Santorum had quite enough of that, thank you.
And I think I point out later that, after all, he sent in SEAL Team 6 to kill the biggest consumer of porn in Abbottabad.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, now that's a war on porn
exactly.
right there.
The, pre- the president.
Porn, watching porn, I'm going to shoot you in the eye. Boom. There we go.
The president. If you're watching porn, I'll shoot your eye out.
That's right.
Right? The president's already won the war on porn, and nobody told Rick Santorum. Oh, well. Now, also up your way, you talk about Senator McDreamy, the senator fold, Scott
yeah.
Brown.
He's having a pretty good month, actually.
He is, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's ahead in the polls. What's that all about?
Yeah, he's a very popular guy up here. I mean, he's not an unlikable guy. He's you know, found a way to tap dance around being, you know, being associated with the party, which makes his support for the Blunt Amendment completely inexplicable to me.
Right.
The only thing I can imagine is that he didn't really read it. And
right.
there's a TV interview from a local TV guy, a friend of mine named Jim Browdy up here, where Browdy starts taking him through the law, and he plainly doesn't understand it.
Right.
And I think they probably came to him and said, look, yo, it's this one. Okay, we'll let you slide on, you know, Wall Street reform and everything else, but we need your vote on this one. And
yeah.
I think he took the position and didn't read the bill.
Well, I mean, so now, as you say, he jumps on this Violence Against Women Act, got his daughters on the front page of the Boston Herald, and in which he argues that their presence in his life is the reason you should ignore his curious alliance with the forces of No Lady Parts, Please.
Yeah, well, you know,
because he's been to so many, you know, girls' basketball games, apparently.
That's the argument Karen Santorum made yesterday, too, by the way, that Rick is, you don't have to worry about Rick's opinion on what women do with their lady parts because he's surrounded by strong women. Yeah,
yeah.
I suspect if you get her alone, Mother Santorum will bat her, you know, crazy son over the head. You know, like Olympia Dukakis and Moonstruck and go, snap out of it!
Yeah, as you say, some of his best relatives are women. But
right.
Can I say one thing? I know Elizabeth Warren. He's no Elizabeth Warren.
Woman-wise, yes.
Yes.
Who's being sidelined yet again, looks like.
Look, folks, it's you know, March. Relax.
That's true.
It's still a 3-1 Democratic state. We don't know what's going to happen in the fall. I don't think anybody ever thought this was going to be easy. You look at the map from the last senatorial election, it's frightening.
Yeah.
The red-blue map. I mean, there are great swaths of the state right now who will vote for a Republican. And you know, given the camp, you know, there's some talk up here that maybe the Warren campaign isn't as well organized as it should be, concentrating as they are apparently on raising money. But, you know, there's going to be, you know, zillions of dollars thrown into this thing. I think she made a mistake in agreeing to this clean campaign pledge, although I was denounced by all my good government friends for saying so. But, I would be concerned but not worried at this point.
But he's
had a good week. What are you going to do? He's going to have a good week.
Well, you're right. It's March, and
time to bring up the pink hot pants again. I think that's
yes, I think so too. And also, you haven't factored in the most significant thing, and that is Sexy Liberal will be there in June at the Wilbur Theater again.
Oh, yeah,
Charlie
really?
Pierce, hopefully on panel with us, and
we'll fix
everything.
We'll see. Maybe I'll come out and sweep up the stage after you and Hal are done.
And
get my hazmat suit.
So
I think they probably got it disinfected from the last time already.
Yeah, they just.
Although I think there was a traveling troupe of Oklahoma who came out there and said, "I'm not going to stand here." Sticky.
So, with Charlie Pierce, what's going to happen today? Obviously, it looks like Romney's ahead in Illinois.
I think Mitt's going to win fairly big, and I think. You know, certainly there'll be more pressure for Newt to stop his, you know, tour of the nation's zoos, which is apparently all he's got for a campaign these
wow.
days.
Yeah. But, I mean, the problem is it really does seem like they aren't getting out, Newt or Santorum, regardless of today, right?
I mean, Santorum has got it through his head, and I think he's got a right to believe this, that he's going to be the other guy. Newt is, you know, just megalomaniac at this point. I mean, he's waiting for, you know, the democracy to fall, and let's look for a leader for the fallen nation, and it's going to be him. Meanwhile, he's going to the zoo and having dinner in Washington with Callista. That's a nice life, actually.
How do we sign up for that?
When did any Republican think they could tell Newt Gingrich anything, by the way?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not like this guy hasn't been around for 20 years. You don't, I mean, you know, there was a book written about him at the height of his political power, which was called Tell Newt to Shut Up.
Yeah,
I mean, nobody in the party's ever been able to tell him anything. I don't know, you know, the pundits get on TV and say, well, you know, so-and-so should go to Newt Gingrich and tell him it's time to get out. You know what Newt Gingrich is going to do?
Yeah.
He's going to laugh at him and go to the zoo. That's what he's going to do.
Well, exactly. I mean, he blew up the party once. What makes you think he won't do it again?
He honestly believes he's the smartest person in any room he's in.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody will ever disenthrall him of that. And nobody in the party has the wherewithal. What are they going to do, threaten his future with the Republican Party? He hasn't got one.
Exactly. Yeah, people may not like you. All right. Charlie Pierce of the Esquire.com. Great stuff as usual, honey. See you next week.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Don't forget to powder for next week. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Powder! Wake up! 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tomorrow, Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
Yep. And Rolling Stones' Matt Taibbi.
Oh, that's right. Very exciting.
That'd be great.
Very exciting show. By the way, I love Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang. Thanks you for all the wonderful comments. We have a picture of he and his new son, Henry Jack, that we put up on Friday, mm-hmm. who was just born last week. And my favorite comment was, hey, how come that baby looks like Hal Sparks?
Does not look.
Now, if it looked like me, that would be even worse. But I don't. All right. So lots coming up. Representative Jan Schakowsky, comedian Rita Rudner. Today, of course, a primary day. I believe she will be talking to us outside of eggs, etc. Play on words there.
That's a play of words.
That's where all the hilarious pancakes are. Well, Mitt Romney did all his pancake humor. Okay. Maybe we'll play some of that for Rita Rudner, get her professional opinion.
Oh, God, no. No, let's not sully her gorgeous mind with that. Please.
Today's primary comes on the heels of Romney's overwhelming victory in Puerto Rico, a territory Santorum courted by insulting them and telling them to speak English. Oh, well. Oh, frothy. At the expense of spending time in Illinois, Illinois expected to be closer, but polls indicate Romney may be pulling away. And Rick Santorum also said he doesn't care about the unemployment rate. Oh, mm-hmm. frothy.
Another soundbite.
Yeah, which, by the way, they always like to kid the president about the teleprompter. Santorum explained he does not use notes or a teleprompter when he speaks.
Well.
He just likes to wing it.
Good.
And he said occasionally you say some things you wish you had a do-over.
This is why you use a teleprompter.
He said the economy is a big issue. Unemployment is a big issue. Big, big, big. What did I say? Did I say something else? I didn't mean that.
Yeah, as president,
tape recorders lie.
Yeah. As president, you don't want to, go off the cuff when you're speaking in front of the UN or giving your State of the Union address or
that
something.
Tends to be
Frothy, you're going to have to use a teleprompter at some point.
We've been
pal.
Warning Republicans about the dangers of recording devices for quite some time,
yeah.
And they don't seem to listen. You see, that can be used against you at a later point.
I can't picture Romney or Santorum addressing the UN.
Oh, there's a bunch of foreigners here. Ew, speak English. What's wrong with you people?
We're in America. Speak English.
They refuse to wear headsets, too. And I don't understand what this guy's saying. Okay, Rick Santorum.
All you foreigners are just the right height.
We've been outspent here badly again. And we can come back and show that we've got this core base of the Republican Party here in the state of Illinois, that they're rejecting Mitt Romney in spite of all the advantages that he has in this race. I think that'll send a signal that this race is heading in our direction.
Okay. All right. You don't want to get your Santorum surge all backed up.
Awful.
Okay. Senator Man on Dog on Governor Dog on Car.
Yeah.
As far as Seamus the Dog, all I would say is, the issues of character are important in this election.
Yes, yes. Rick.
Chafin the live blog says that Santorum would be up there at the UN saying, quit listening to your iPods and listen to me.
All right.
Stop listening to Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Boy,
take off your headphones.
This one is in the Isn't It Ironic file. John McCain, who is known as, what was he known as? McNasty? In the Navy?
Yeah.
He says this race has gotten nasty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then,
wow.
Yeah, he knows a thing or two about nasty. You remember that one. It's not the
that
policy.
One.
Not the policy.
It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
McCain said on Meet the Press, this is the nastiest campaign I've ever seen. He was quick.
And he's not even in it.
Yikes, I know. And he was quick to point fingers at the super PACs. You know, it could be just the candidates
super.
Themselves.
Thanks for asking.
It could be the candidates are nasty. It could be that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone that ever worked with Rick Santorum will tell you, nasty little piece of work.
Yeah.
Just Barbara Boxer, I remember, saying it was on record as saying he just made every debate really nasty and personal when he was in the Senate. All right. Oh, Mitt Romney. What? A flip-flopping. What day is it? What time is it? Mitt Romney in 1994. Well, you know, he's been going after Rick Santorum for apparent transgressions and missteps when it comes to supporting conservative candidates like Arlen Specter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. Romney gave contributions to several Democrats, a Democratic Senate candidate in Utah, also John LaFalce in New York, a moderate New Hampshire Democrat in 19... Well, I guess the quote. Never mind. Who said in 1994, I don't think they're mortal sins for Republicans to make contributions to good people and to their friends, irrespective of their party.
I think you already said it was Mitt Romney, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. You kind of gave it away.
It's too late.
Yeah, some game show host you are.
That's why I stopped doing that. I already said it.
You're fired.
You're fired.
Oops, I gave away the answer. Sorry.
You're like the
nobody
Kristen
wins Meek anything.
Character on Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
Oh, I said the word, didn't I?
Yes. Ooh, sorry. All right. The president talking...
I said it. There it was. I read it, and I said it.
All right. Healthcare. It's still standing.
Oh.
Better than it's ever been on the 2-care anniversary.
You want to call it Obamacare? That's okay, because I do care. That's why we passed it. That is why we passed it. Because I care about folks who were going bankrupt because they were getting sick.
Must be great to feel like you're the smartest person in the room.
Yes, because you are.
Must be nice to always believe you know better.
Because you do. All right. Mitt Romney, who, funny that you should mention, because back when the thing that was the Obamacare was based on, Romneycare, he felt differently.
This president believes that federal bureaucrats could do a better job than you can deciding what should be in your insurance policy. And ultimately, what kind of care you should receive.
Just like you did, including a mandate when you were governor of Massachusetts.
Do you get to care? Do you get to decide what's in your health insurance policy?
No, pretty much the insurance company does.
No. I got to... Politico has a piece on the health care, which is just so irritating to me. We'll get into it after the break. But in first place, I don't get all of this screaming about the mandate. Why is it okay that we all have to buy car insurance? It's for the same reason, right?
They argue that the states require you to buy car insurance, but the federal government is requiring you to buy.
Okay.
That's their argument. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that is their argument.
All right. Anyway, I will more about all the healthcare stuff as we continue. Rita Rudner, comedian extraordinaire, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, stephaniemiller.com, the website, sexyliberal.com, the sexy liberal website. Al in New Mexico, right, Steph? I just bought my ticket for Albuquerque, March 31st. Going fast. I think there's only maybe 50 tickets left. Get them. Saw you in San Francisco. Wasn't sure I could afford it, but couldn't pass up the $29 ticket. There's a few of those left. Just a very few left.
Yep.
See you March 31st, Albuquerque. All right. And Jim Ward, so we're starting on Current TV at some point. Televising the radio show. It's going to be Talking Liberally,
yes.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Everybody so far likes Jim Ward's The Whore Room better. Mike writes, how about Current TV's The Steph Infection? Okay.
That's it.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm sure they will take those under advisement.
Yeah. But if you are looking on your program guide for for us on Current TV, look under Talking Liberally, The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah. My mother won't watch it. You know why?
Why?
She'll be too busy watching Rita Rudner, her favorite comedian. My 89-year-old Republican mom. Today will probably be the only day she listens to the radio show. Good morning, Rita Rudner, my mommy's favorite.
You've got to get over it, Stephanie. Every time I talk to you, you tell me, I know your mother loves you, mm-hmm. and you're number one in her eyes.
So, not really. Step back,
take a deep breath, and know your mommy loves you.
You're like my comedy sibling. Whatever. Good morning, honey. You have a new film called Thanks.
Yes, but you've got a sexy, liberal, beautiful tour. Congratulations on your big success.
Because
I love that.
Thank you, honey. John Fugel sang in Hell Sparks, bring the sexy. I just bring the something liberal.
You bring the lovely. The lovely and the liberal.
Aww. Thank you, honey. Well, you know, my mom would prefer that I wear dresses like you do, but I wouldn't be able to do that because I do a teabagging demonstration and it wouldn't work. But
I do have to do the long dresses because I hate my legs.
Oh.
So people say, and even my husband says, keep the emphasis from the waist up.
Oh, girls.
And you know what he said the other day? I've been married for so long, he can say anything to me.
Yeah.
He said, you know what's good about you? And I said, what? And he said, you've gained weight, but you've gained it all over.
Isn't that sweet?
I want somebody to say on your anniversary because I haven't just gained it in one place. It's all valid.
Isn't he sweet? Isn't he cute? He's sort of taking the counterintuitive approach to the do I look fat in this dress? He's just,
no, yes, you do. Everywhere,
but...
so it's all in proportion. Oh, I love you so much, honey. Merry Christmas.
You are beautiful. I don't care what he says.
Okay. Well, the other day, because, you know, I do my gig at the Venetian in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And so he said, and he's always looking around because you never know where they're going to put up a sign for you or they take it down. And he said, I was walking around the Venetian. They put up a great big sign of you. And I got so excited. And I walked closer and I realized it was Emeril Lagasse. And I went, oh.
Isn't he hilarious? And yet, you've written.
He said, I wasn't a joke. I said, yeah, I know. That's why I'm especially offended.
Yes.
Because it wasn't. But I love him and he loves me. So who cares? And I love your mother and she loves you.
Well, and here's the thing. You actually write a lot of your hilarious stuff with your husband, Martin Bergman.
So I do my act by myself because I just have to sit there and I have to think of it. Otherwise, I don't want to say it. You know, if you don't think it, you don't want to say it because it's a lie.
No.
So I do all my jokes. But and he wrote our new movie, Thanks, which is it's on Showtime tomorrow. And it's about a family over three Thanksgivings. And I have a new special, Rita Rudner and three potential ex-husbands, because if I would have married any of them, we would have been divorced by now. And also, you know, because in my act I don't swear, and Showtime likes people to swear because it's pay cable. Why would you pay unless people are swearing?
Right.
So I don't swear, and I have three lovely men who do.
She never works blue.
See, that's what my mother says. That Rita Rudner doesn't work blue. That's why I like
her.
Well,
yeah, I work pink. I'm a pink girl.
Yes, pink. Exactly. Pretty.
I like pink. Leave me alone.
Pretty comedy in pink.
Sorry.
So I love that the movie Thanks is about a dysfunctional family, and I'm like, is there one that isn't?
No, and this is an especially dysfunctional one because I play the new wife. I have married into this family, but what happened was I redecorated their house, and it took so long that the woman died. And I marry the husband, and I come into this family. And they're doing well when I joined them in 2007, and not so well in 2009.
And it's set over the course of three successive Thanksgiving dinners. You know, I get these questions all the time about how to talk politics over Thanksgiving dinner because people always come from mixed families politically. Why is Thanksgiving it's for every movie there's a Thanksgiving scene because it's just so awkward.
Because everybody gets together. That's the only time when all the families get together. And, in fact, in this family, there are liberals and conservatives, and each are expressing their own opinions. And there's even a drug addict who doesn't really understand what's going on.
So a Republican. See, I dragged you into politics again.
You could drag me into politics. I was a Hillary person. But then I said, you know, it's good Hillary didn't win because I was thinking of Chelsea, both of her parents, presidents of the United States. What could she possibly do to impress them? I mean, they'd probably get together, she and Bill. Oh, it's our daughter. She's a doctor, a lawyer, and an astronaut. We're so disappointed.
Well, is it? As a you're an award-winning comedian. I have to play you a soundbite because you know they always say, you know, in this whole Rush Limbaugh controversy, oh, he's a comedian, and then they compare him to Bill Maher. And as Bill Maher said the other night, he stopped saying Rush is a comedian. It's not the same thing. There just is a difference.
He's a creep. That's a different thing.
Yes. Yeah. But this is the Republican frontrunner Mitt Romney, and this is what passes for humor. Here we go. He's at a pancake house.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Hang on. Here we go. He's looking for it. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, here
okay,
it is.
I like these pancakes.
Are something else. I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night. I must admit, the margin was just about as good.
So there you go.
Well, you know, he doesn't have a writer. You got to have a writer, a comedy writer, to do these. You know, he's off the cuff. And it's breakfast. Who can be funny before breakfast?
Well, we have to. Thanks for asking.
Okay, well, that's true. You have to do it. And that song, You're Walking on Sunshine, is so, gosh, I mean, if you're in kind of a semi-sleepy coma, that's going to get you out of it.
Right.
That's true. That's why we chose it.
Peppy song, you know, I'm looking for every breath you take. You know, kind of gently lulling me into the day.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, it's just kind of like, oh, my God, I got to get started. But, you know, I've already been up and taking my daughter to school because she's in the Honor Society, and she has to get there a half hour early. I'm so upset.
I tell her,
don't study. Please make more mistakes. And she just doesn't, and she's all.
Do you have a bumper sticker that says, I wish my kid wasn't an honor student?
I should have that because she has to get there too early, and I'm in show business, and I hate it. But I figure, you know, she's in the fourth grade, so I only have to do it for, nine more years.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Awesome. That is
But she's worth it. So this morning she couldn't go to school because her hair wasn't right. And I had to flat iron it, and I said, Molly, just hold this bit a little bit, you know. And she said, why? I said, oh, God. Just hold it. It's too early to argue with me about holding a piece of your hair.
It's good to know.
Children, or can I just rent for a while?
It's good to know, even no matter how smart a girl is, she's starting her lifelong self-esteem issues regarding her looks, as we all do.
She stares at herself in the mirror. I come down, are you studying? Well, not yet. And she's just looking, just saying, oh, my gosh, let's see what's on over here. But I remember I was, I had a real fetish that I thought my earlobes were too big.
Mine are too big. Yeah.
I wanted a lobe reduction.
Yes, I wanted that too. I have that.
A lobe reduction?
I didn't get a lobe reduction, but I wanted one. I have those big droopy ones.
I didn't get one either, but I just said these earlobes. I'm just, how can I go to school with these lobes?
Do lobe reductions exist?
Yes.
Do they?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I must have worn too many of those big, heavy 70s earrings or something.
But this was even before I even got my ears pierced, and I was looking at, you know, because girls are just crazy.
Yeah. No, I felt like I looked like a basset hound. They're so long and hanging. Yeah.
Me too. But, you know, evidently there's so much else wrong with me that no one notices.
Did you make the mistake I did, and I had a friend pierce my ears, you know, on an amateur basis? Yeah, that wasn't.
I had a rogue aunt, and one day she picked me up from school because my parents had said I couldn't do it, and she took me, and we got my ears pierced, and I came home, and they were furious.
Yeah.
How could you do that? But more than anything, I wanted my ears pierced. But
is that the most rebellious thing you've ever done, Rita Rudner? I'm guessing it is.
No, sometimes I read in bad light.
Okay.
Anyway, so this is, can I tell you the latest thing that's wrong with me?
Yes.
Because, you know, these stupid rules they have in school.
Yeah.
So I wanted to help at the library in school because they have all these things and you have to volunteer for this and that. So I had to go get my fingerprints done to help in the library.
Right.
And the report came back that my fingerprints were inadequate. And I said, well, you know, I know a lot of the rest of me is inadequate. I was pretty confident that I had adequate fingerprints. So I had to call the FBI and say, this is my Social Security number. You can look me up. I don't even have a parking ticket. He said, well, you've got to go back and get them done again. I said, yeah, but they're the same fingers. You know,
they're not going to get any better.
They're not better. You know, it's the same. It's always going to be the same. It's like Rihanna. She's always going to be crazy.
Well, you know what? You might as well embark on a life of crime because you clearly have no fingerprints. So they'll never catch you.
I never thought of this. I could be a bank robber because they will never figure it out.
That's right.
So then I said, you know, I went and I did my fingers. It came back inadequate. And they said, well, now we have to give you a background check for so we'll be calling you. So I think that's why they...
You better hope they don't catch that...
background checks for people who want to use guns because they're busy doing background checks on people who want to use the Dewey Decimal System.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I mean, can you believe
you better hope they don't find that
library because my fingerprints are inadequate.
You better hope they don't find that reading in bad light offense in that background check, my friend.
I know. Well, once I tried to litter, but I couldn't do it. I picked it up.
All right. So I would, if you have no fingerprints, you know what I would do if I were you? I would get a Judy Tenuta mask and go rob a bank right after this interview.
Could he happen?
Okay. Well, do they have those? Are they available?
Yes, I'll send you one. All right. It's ReadaFunny.com is the website. The new movie is Thanks on the Showtime Network, and you rock and roll. Love you,
and
Rita.
And also my new special, Rita Rudner and Three Potential Ex-Husbands, and congratulations on your big, fancy tour.
Thank you. It's big and fancy.
That.
Oh, look at you, Miss Played Carnegie Hall and whatever. All right. Love you, Rita Rudner.
Tell your mother I said hello.
Whatever. Goodbye, better sibling. Love you.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks, Rita. Aww.
See, she's funny.
It brought me that's funny. Yeah. See? Yeah. Funny. Okay. All right.
But that Christian comic was the baddest time. It's funny because I'm laughing at myself.
Yeah.
Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, Representative Jan Schakowsky coming up on Illinois Primary Day. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show talking with Representative Jan Schakowsky after the bottom of the hour. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Chris in Yankton writes about Romney comedy. Steph, it's like listening to a five-year-old attempt to tell a joke. It goes on forever with random unrelated things thrown in and no punchline. At least with a five-year-old, there's a slight chance the joke teller might be adorable. Mittens, no chance.
Right.
So speaking of Republican comedy, in the wake of the whole Rush Limbaugh-Sandra Fluke controversy, a listener sent this along, and I had totally forgotten about this. And that's the thing. There is such a history, Jim, of this. It's not like this was some isolated incident. And, for instance, why didn't this get much more publicity? It was Rush talking about Nancy Pelosi, right?
The leadership you had provided already this year.
He made a dash for that microphone as soon as he finished. And let me tell you what she was doing that microphone. And she was pretending that microphone was a body part of Obama.
Well, that's so
subtle.
Oh,
my God. Wow.
Oral sex humor about the...
Speaker of the House at that time.
Yep.
And the President of the United States. Okay. Yes, we should play that a couple more times.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's been talking about there's no war against women or anything like that. He's never spoken disrespectfully before.
Never, no.
Or compared Chelsea Clinton to a dog. Okay.
Yet Hannity calls Rush his good friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
So, okay.
All right, then. Okay, then.
Yeah.
By the way, Kevin in Rochester writes, someone needs to tell Romney if he were to get elected, he couldn't simply fire Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana and then leverage New York, Texas, and Alaska's resources to borrow foreign money for his own salary, have the company go into structured bankruptcy, then take the money for himself and his cronies and leave U.S. citizens to fend for themselves in the chaos he has created. That is his economic heavyweight history. That's all he's good at, firing people, raping their companies, taking every piece of wealth for himself, and leaving hollowed-out shells. Thank you, Kevin.
Hollowed-out shells of both companies and people.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. All right. I was talking about it is the two-year anniversary of the health care bill, and Politico has a piece that just infuriates me. It begins, despite all the bombs thrown at the health reform law, and there have been bombs aplenty, 2 years after President Obama signed his crowning domestic achievement, the core provisions remain essentially unscathed. The reforms are kicking in around the country. But as he did in trying to get it done in the first place against enormous obstructionism even now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if there was just a moment we could all try to do something in a bipartisan way. I mean, part of the reason why some things aren't kicking in or working, Jim, is because they're preventing them state by state. The country remains surprisingly clueless about the Affordable Care Act. Repeated polls have found that that's all they're good at is spreading disinformation about it rather than, I mean, it just, they've never been able to explain why it's not good to not be discriminated against for pre-existing conditions, have your kids stay on your insurance till they're 26. I mean, all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Indeed, one recent poll found more than 1 in 7 think the U.S. Supreme Court already struck it down, and the public is evenly split over whatever they think it is.
Well, I think they need to do a better job at messaging.
I guess the administration has been more aggressively touting health reform's early benefits in the recent month, helping seniors fill the donut hole in their drug coverage. Hello, that's my mom. Allowing the 2.5 million adults to remain on their parents' insurance until age 26, providing free preventative service under Medicare, and the end of lifetime limits that had meant people could exhaust their coverage if they got seriously ill. The most sweeping coverage expansion insurance reforms don't take effect until 2014 when state exchanges are supposed to be up and running. But the ferocity of the ongoing opposition, Politico writes, has made it far difficult than many anticipated to secure adequate funding and bring those reforms to pass. 2 years after Obama signed the health care law, many opponents have maintained a visceral hostility, delaying implementation in many states. I'm telling you, it's just part of this Obama derangement syndrome. I mean, Mitt Romney, he created Obamacare, essentially. They had meetings with his advisors. It is based on Romney care. It's unbelievable. House Republicans have passed all sorts of repeal and defunding bills since winning the majority. Most measures died in the Senate. That's what they're spending their time on. Instead of helping us implement it and all of the good things in it, you know, that's all they're doing. The Congressional Budget Office just estimated health reform will cost $50 billion less than previously thought.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that anywhere?
Nope.
No. So unless the Supreme Court strikes down the entire law, it's going to, they're say, you know, be a tough slog. Most court watchers, by the way, think that's unlikely. You know, it's just, but every step of the way, they're trying to fight it rather than help us implement stuff that's going to help people. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Jan Schakowsky, rocking congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Man.
Stephanie Miller.
Major Liz Chow.
She sure is, Stewie. She sure is.
Did I write that for you?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Today, Illinois primary day, of course. And what more rockin' thing from the state of Illinois can we have than Representative Jan Schakowsky, our own personal favorite congresswoman? Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Steph. Thanks for having me.
You are the key warrior in the war on women. You are, in the trenches fighting for us. I don't know if you happen to tune in, Representative. I just played this old soundbite of Rush Limbaugh. People act like this is the first time, the Sandra Fluke thing. It literally was him making an oral sex joke about Nancy Pelosi and the president. I mean, it just... You know, this is not new, right?
No, but it's continually sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. From beginning to end. I mean, it really is.
Well, I mean, you've been talking about this for a long time, that it's not just the, you know, Rush Limbaugh, the face of the Republican Party, it's their policies.
That's right. And it's not just the words that are used. When Romney says he wouldn't use the same words, he wouldn't call her a slut or a prostitute, you know, I thought, well, maybe harlot would be more in his, you know,
trollop, something more old-fashioned.
Yes.
Something more old-timey and homespun.
And elegant.
Yeah, yeah, as David Axelrod said, boy, there's a profile in courage.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, not the words you would have used. You made a statement saying, I strongly condemn the personal vicious remarks made by Rush Limbaugh and conservative commentators. Good point, by the way. Not just Rush. Everyone has rushed to defend Rush on the right and continue to attack her. As you say, a heroic young woman who was speaking out for her peers and their right to birth control. And, I mean, that's, to me, was the most egregious part of it. Before you even get to the language, is it was based on a lie. She wasn't there testifying about her personal sex life and asked taxpayers to pay for it.
That was Rush's fantasy that she really was. And so, you know, he wanted to see a video of her. I mean, it's just incredible having sex. That would be the right thing for her to do. It's just so, it's nauseating. But you know what? It came up again in Illinois when a woman at Bradley University, that's where Romney was, said when he was talking about freedom and that there ought to be access to contraception, that it ought to be a preventive health service that's available to women, as the president has proposed, as the Affordable Care Act would allow. And he says, if you want the free stuff, vote for the other guy.
Yeah.
That's what Romney said to her. So, you know, the war continues. And
right.
young people completely don't get it, you know, what Romney and the Republicans are saying. It's like, are you kidding me in the year 2012? And I actually think that's the view of most women now. So on some level, I feel like bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on. Because we're going to carry this issue all the way to the election, and they seem to have forgotten that women are the majority of voters.
51%.
Well, you know, a listener, a representative that has endometriosis, wrote to me about, you know, this is one of the key reasons we can't go down the slippery slope of, you know, the government, I guess, deciding what women are allowed to have or not, or your employer, because she said, you know, there was another right-wing caller we had sort of dismissed, like, oh, you know, so few people that need, you know, women that need it for other things. 5 million women have endometriosis. 5 million women in the country have ovarian cysts.
You know,
that's
what?
10 million
it's,
women. That
it's true.
Yeah.
It's true, Steph. But you know, I don't want to emphasize that because I think using birth control to control birth is a very legitimate thing.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
That we don't have to say, oh well, it's really not about that. We actually want to have sex, but we don't necessarily want to have a baby. That we have to defend that
in this
year, really, you know. And so this idea that in Arizona women would have to bring a note for their doctor it's not for objectionable medical conditions, like preventing a pregnancy. That would be objectionable.
Yeah. No, exactly.
To an employer.
When, you're exactly right. When did we come back to this paternalistic 1950 culture where, you know, as you say, I really don't understand the political strategy because the majority of voters are women. Since 99% of women use contraceptives in their lifetime, it's quite remarkable. This has become a signature issue of many of the Republicans. I think it may cost them the election because women are simply not going to go back. They're not going to accept restrictions on their, I mean, literally, like, what are we, a child? I need a note? From my doctor.
A note from my doctor that, no, I'm, you know, and that exposes me for the terrible crime of having sex to because you want to, and that using birth control to prevent yourselves from getting pregnant. Now we have to go on the defense for that in this country, in this year, in this century.
Well, it's not even a women's issue. Last time I checked, men seem to enjoy having sex with women, generally speaking.
You know, I thought so.
Generally,
I got that. I got that idea that might be true, and that they were not interested in necessarily every time they had sex in making their partner get pregnant with their baby. I thought that was widely understood.
Right. Well, by the way, and this, you know, the related issue you talked about, Planned Parenthood. I mean, here we have Mitt Romney saying he would get rid of it, which, first of all, you can't do, and second of all, he sought Planned Parenthood's endorsement when he ran for governor. I mean, he is just an incredible flip-flopper. It can't be said enough.
Right. And, you know, he would get rid of it if he could get rid of it. That was part of the meaning of that. If he could, he would. All he can do if he were president, and maybe not because the Congress might have something to say about it, would defund Planned Parenthood. But, you know, at the national level, we are seeing a retreat, and I think the members went home, and they heard from women, and they are fed up, and now you saw Lisa Murkowski changing her idea about the Blunt-Rubio Amendment, which said that any employer could deny a health care service for their moral reasons. Not the moral reasons of their employees, but for themselves. That's now off the table. And I think as we're seeing these things come up in the states, that more and more women are simply going to say no. As you said, we're not going to go back.
Well, I mean, it's like this whole, you know, having religious liberty, like letting pharmacists be church lady. You know, it's like, guess what? You have the freedom to get another job if you don't want to give certain women certain medication, right?
No. That's right. The women shouldn't have the freedom of going to another pharmacy if it's available, but the employee then should, or the pharmacist should have the freedom to go to another place to work. That is not an option. When a FDA-approved drug is prescribed by a doctor, then the pharmacist should prescribe it.
Right.
Give it.
They're talking about birth control like it's a controlled substance or something illegal. It's not illegal.
Yeah.
Since 1966.
Exactly.
Well, unbelievably that long, I mean, that recent in some ways that, you know, we still had, women had to fight for it for so long, and now we're fighting again for it. It's just, it is.
And
I don't know sometimes whether to laugh or cry. You know, it's good to make fun of it, but really, it is pathetic.
We choose laughing, and then I go home and cry the rest of the day.
Oh, okay, good. I love how you laugh about
now,
it.
Now, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Planned Parenthood in Illinois, for instance, cares for 3 million women. The head of Planned Parenthood there said over 90% of what we perform are basic preventative health care services. We're talking about breast exams, life-saving cervical cancer screenings, the testing and treatment for sexually transmitted diseases and birth control. That's what Mitt Romney wants to get rid of. I mean,
and you know what? It's men, too. Not as many men, but men can go to a Planned Parenthood clinic and also get help to prevent an STD or get HIV testing. So these are often the only source of preventive health services, of primary health services for people in rural areas and medically underserved areas. And so these clinics are so incredibly important in not only in Illinois but around the country. For him to say that really is a declaration of war on women's health.
Yep. So today is the Illinois primary. Obviously, mm-hmm. latest polls look like Romney is pulling away there. What is your prediction?
Well, I think Romney probably will win, although, you know, we'll see. There's two voting methods in Illinois. One is the beauty contest, Romney versus Santorum, and you can just vote for either one. But then you vote for delegates as well. Santorum did not get a full slate of delegates in Illinois. There's four districts where he wasn't able to get any delegates. So there'll be two ways to judge the outcome. But I'll tell you, if Santorum does well in this beauty contest, this head-to-head race, it will be meaningful. It'll send a strong message. And it'll be interesting to see, because one thing about Midwesterners, you know, we don't really like phonies.
Yeah.
That's true.
What are you implying about Mitt Romney?
Yeah, I am. You know, that authenticity to Chicagoans as well as downstaters actually means something. We'll see if that is going to have any impact. No, we don't like phonies.
I was reading an article about you, and you spoke at a news conference outside Pancakes, etc. I don't know if you understand the unintentional comedy of that. Let Mitt Romney explain it to you.
These are pancakes. I'm in Rosemont, Illinois. I just got these pancakes from a restaurant called Pancakes, etc. It's kind of a play on words.
You see what that is? It's a play on words. Ooh, you probably didn't get it.
I didn't. That is really good.
Oh, and by the way, these are pancakes.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know.
Pancakes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's devolved into him just naming objects. That's pretty much that's all he's got.
Yeah. It was great because outside of Pancakes, etc., they would only let in Fox News. And so the women who were outside carrying signs that said, "Keep your mitts off our birth control," which we thought was kind of clever ourselves, a little play on words.
My favorite placard has been, "Hey, Republicans, the jobs aren't in my vagina." That's
Right, a lot of vagina talk these days. But anyway, so we had the media, including the traveling media, pretty much all to ourselves because they didn't want to let those people in and hear what he had to say to the crowd, which wasn't all that crowdy either. At least it didn't seem that way outside.
Yeah. You didn't sense the momentum in the air?
I didn't see that.
No.
I didn't feel the mist venom. No.
All right. Representative Jan Schakowsky, our reporter on the ground in Illinois today on primary day. Thanks so much. Talk to you again very soon.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. There she goes, the rockin' congresswoman. I've got graphs about gas prices.
Graphs?
Which is a lot more entertaining than it sounds. I'll do that when I get back.
Yeah, radio graphs.
Oh, that's great for radio.
Mm-hmm.
Judy Tenuta is calling in to thank me for the mention. We'll talk to her in a moment. 46 minutes after the hour.
Could happen.
It could happen. You could, any morning you could mention Judy Tenuta. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Tonight's
going to be a good night.
Do it.
Except you're implying.
Do it. 51 minutes, because you're going to do it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2-THE. Just letting the missus know on the air. Janiqua, time to put out tonight. This hour.
Oh, God. What?
Brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. You know why it's going to be a good night? You know why it's a good day?
Why?
Because any day, Judy Tenuta could spontaneously call into your show. It could happen.
It could happen.
It could happen. Stephanie, I am so on. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Judy.
Oh, I am so honored that you think of me as a criminal. Like,
yes. What are the chances that I was going to slide in a Judy Tenuta reference on Rita Rudner? You see what I'm...
I love it. I have no fingerprints.
If I had to guess one comedian that has no fingerprints, it would be Rita Rudner, wouldn't it?
It would be. And by the way, I thank you because I need to get arrested. That would be awesome. Yes, there should be a Judy Tenuta mask where she could go in and rob a bank. Oh, please.
There you go.
You do a good
she would be so...
How awesome would that be?
Lay down on the floor.
Is it wrong to hope that somebody robs something today wearing a Judy Tenuta mask just because I said
I
so?
I just love it. I never thought of myself as a criminal, but it could be a new venue for me.
Proving that you could get arrested in Hollywood.
I definitely have to stop into Pancakes, etc. Oh, my God.
It's a play on words. I don't know if you realize that.
Oh, dear God. Do we have the other comedy? It's really, wow, Republican comedy is just painful, isn't it?
But, no, my favorite part is that he thinks he can sing now.
Yes. Well,
the
he's
whole Republican thing. Yeah. Well, actually, the whole presidential presentation, you know, their debates and everything, they become like Glee. They got it from our lovely president who can sing.
Right.
And
right.
And then Romney goes, I don't even remember what song he's sung. Oh, beautiful. America the Beautiful.
First, yes. Spacious skies. For amber waves of grain, you got amber waves here.
It
it's corn,
so
but
wrong
it's kind of a grain.
On every level. Yeah, he needs to go to Pancakes, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
I just can't get it. Yeah.
Okay, you missed the. Here it is. Here's the real pancake humor.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night. I must admit, the margin was just about as good.
You see? Well, that's, okay. Wow.
I know. Oh, my goodness.
The most awkward man in the world. All right. Judy Tenuta, thanks for calling in. Love you. I'm mass producing my Judy Tenuta masks as you speak.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm going to be looking for your sexy liberal tour.
Yay.
Oh,
do you have the accordion out? I'm sorry.
Probably not.
She always
has
the accordion.
Oh. Yes, she does. Do it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Be sure to look for the Stephanie Miller sexy liberal tour in the town near you. It could be Albuquerque.
Thank you, Judy Tenuta. All right. Bye. Goodbye. There she goes.
She
answers the phone with the accordion.
Yeah. I really didn't expect her to have her accordion nearby, but
she
there it was.
She always has her accordion nearby.
Wow. And you can tell...
She probably showers with it.
And you can tell what was happening is someone was calling her and going, oh, my God, you're on the Stephanie Miller show. And so that it was interrupting her speaking on the...
That happens quite a bit.
All right, friends of Judy Tenuta, wait till she hangs up before you call her to tell her she's on the radio. Okay?
I think she knows she's on the radio.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Hey, did you know you were on
the
radio?
Yes, you're interrupted. Okay. All right, Pam in Minneapolis, speaking of sexy liberal. I'm a senior citizen, longtime fan. My children are taking me to your show in May in Minneapolis. That's the Aisha Tyler show. I'm so excited. I can't wait. Aisha Tyler is going to try to join us in studio, but she's wildly popular, so we're trying to promote the big show in May in Minneapolis. All right. Look, it's gas price fun facts. Here, this is how I'm going to make the gas graphs fun. Gas price. Well, listen, we've said this over and over. It proves that Obama doesn't set gas prices if you're the kind of person that needs a graph. Gas prices everywhere plunged in 2008 financial crisis. They rebounded after OPEC nations cut production later that year. America produces 200 times as much oil as Germany, but our gas prices rise and fall in tandem. Isn't that weird? That happens?
Wow.
Strange. Funny that. The public understands Obama not to blame for gas prices, as recent polls make clear. Even the Wall Street Journal and the Cato Institute agree.
So it's Angela Merkel who's setting gas prices.
Or at least three out of four dentists at the Cato Institute say it's not Obama's fault that crude oil prices have increased.
Does Cato Kaelin work at the Cato Institute?
No,
it's not that Cato Institute. Yes, as the New York Times pointed out, in 2005, oil imports accounted for nearly 60% of America's daily consumption. In 2010, for the first time in recent memory, imports were less than half of consumption, and last year imports were only 45%. New York Times also pointing out, with developing countries like China and India demanding more petroleum, prices are likely to stay high. That's the reality, no matter what Republican spinners say. Only a rounded policy mix of greater fuel efficiency, steady production, and the aggressive development of alternative fuels can protect American consumers against what could be even greater price shocks in the years ahead.
And that's kind of what we're doing.
That was my point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's doing it.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Let's do it.
Some of mama should say, I'm doing it. Tracy in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Trace.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Love you much.
Love you,
listen,
too.
Listen, you know, the Republicans kill me because they imply in this false issue of birth control that only college co-eds and single women are having sex. What about the married people who don't want to have babies but do want to have sex? Are they telling on themselves? I mean, if Rick Santorum and Rush and the rest of them want us to believe that they're married and they only want to have sex when they want to have babies, they are flat out lying.
Rick Santorum's had five kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Tracy, as somebody, a woman wrote to me earlier today, she said some of us don't want to have little booger eaters that don't like the brand of cheesy poofs you buy them.
I have three, thank you very much.
Right.
Don't want any more.
Yeah.
They want to have sex.
Yeah. And what kind of cheesy poofs do they like? Why are they so difficult?
They definitely don't like store brand.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Tracy.
Bye, all
right. I wish I didn't have you, but Rick Santorum wouldn't give me birth control. Ugh, just eat the cheesy poofs. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. That's it for us. Hump Days with sexy liberal Hal Sparks tomorrow and Matt Taibbi at Rolling Stone.
Yep.
I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy Chris Loy, voice deity Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor on phones and drums, and the current executives that are looming over us in the studio, breathing down our necks, telling us how the show will not change at all once it's on television. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.